Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV and our coverage of Jujutsu Kaisen. So this is going to be episodes
19 and 20.
Okay, there yep. You go. I have the name of them. It's right and wrong, part 2 and 3. That's easier to remember. Mm-hmm. So just a continuation of Yuji's descent into just absolute depression and despair. We're still battling Mahito, everyone's, I don't want to say favorite villain to watch get the shit kicked out of, which we got a little bit of, I think, in episode 20. So obviously, I think we just take the episodes one at a time. Episode 19, Right and Wrong Part 2, is very Kugasaki focused. I'm sure we have some things to say about that. Some classic anime style of how that episode went, which was funny, but also not funny because of the content type of deal. So,
but they did it well.
Yeah, for sure. I think we kind of just open the floor to anything we want to talk about in episode 19 regarding Kugasaki, obviously.
I mean, what else to say other than she's a boss? I mean, my favorite line, me and Aoki were kind of shooting the shit around a little bit before the recording. So he knows that. For me personally, there was the one line that Mahito says during their fight where he kind of just recognizes her as another rival, just like he does. He sees Itadori Yuji, like he puts her immediately on that tier of like, this is someone that I need to deal with, you know, right away as well. Of course, for the more messed up reasons, but he does see them as like two sides of the same coin. So that was really cool. And obviously, I know the power difference is like significant between Mahito and Kugasaki. We were kind of talking about it last podcast about like how if he splits into a clone, does he get weaker? It appears that he does in the sense that he can't use certain abilities, but in terms of, I feel like physical strength, it feels like it was nearly 100% there, like combat abilities. So even though his power is broken and was much needed probably for him to quickly finish off Kugasaki, it was just cool seeing her hold her own, and her power is just, again, just to the uniqueness of everyone's abilities. So cool seeing the hammer and nail. Like it, I just remember thinking back on season one when we first introduced to her power and just thinking like, what is this going to be? It just looks so stupid, but obviously it's great. And it is a perfect counter to Mahito, especially the double, which I think that was what triggered Mahito's comment about, okay, this girl, just like Yuji, is like a rival to me because I guess their powers can both touch his soul. So, but she was amazing, man. I fucking love Kugasaki.
It's tough to relive that event, you know, because I was hyping her up and I knew it was coming, but I was hyping her up just about how she's not your tropey girl main character. Like, she can hold her own, she's quick with it, you know, she's funny, she's part of the group, and unfortunately she will be missed. Her fight was entertaining. I thought they did it very well in the anime. They portrayed it very well when she used her curse technique and it affected both the clone and the original body. I thought that was super badass. It immediately clicked for her. Unfortunately, it clicked for Mahito too. He realized he had to kind of step it up a notch. Fuck him, bro.
Dude, I watched these episodes back to back. I think if I had done it like week to week, I would have been much more devastated by Right and Wrong Part Two, but I literally just got done watching them back to back. But I agree. Like, just like, fuck Mahito so much. Like, if I had to sit on that episode, Right and Wrong Part Two, for a week without hearing the potential, like, oh, because we get in Right and Wrong Part Three that it's like, oh, she's dead, but there's not like a 0% chance that she actually dies, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
So if I didn't have that knowledge for a week, I would just have to, you know, wallow in despair that another one of Yuji's just best friends is going down. I was devastated, man. I absolutely hated seeing this. And that was something that weeks ago, I think when the opening first came out, and I stupidly kind of watched it, and people were making comments about like how she was like going like this in the intro.
Yeah, and she was also in the center of the chairs too, right?
Oh, was she?
Intro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now that makes sense too. But
which wasn't clicking for me, actually. But when you see the backstory, it obviously comes to play.
So obviously in the moment, that meant absolutely nothing to me. If anything, I thought maybe she would have like only lost an eye. So that's kind of what I was expecting in this fight, was to her lose her eye and not her life. So that was definitely a huge surprise for me. But I mean, I love Kugasaki. I mean, I'm still a Maki truther to this day, but she's definitely up there. All the women in the show have been just amazing. I love them all.
They do you so dirty with the kind of sequence of events of her kind of kicking ass, and then like Yuji gets the hint where it's picking him up emotionally and like spiritually almost, where he's like, thank you for showing me like I'm not alone. And he starts kicking Mahito's ass and all the heavy blows are hitting, and he's just absolutely beating the shit out of him. And you're like, yes, like this is literally what we've been waiting for so long. And then they just flip it right on you. She gets smacked in the face, and then it just says 2009. It's like, no.
I was so fucking pissed because she gets touched, and then we hit that flashback. I'm like, can I just it's skip so this? Bad. I just need to, like, I want to see what the fuck happens before I get into this. And her backstory was, I mean, it was sad, of course. I mean, she was an outsider in the village. She makes a friend, and then another friend who's a little bit older than both of them. And we hadn't really been introduced. We haven't been introduced. What's the girl that's her age's name?
Fumi.
Fumi. Have we met her in real time?
No,
not that I know of.
No.
Okay, I just wasn't sure because we were getting her perspective at first, Fumi's perspective, and I was a little bit like, why do we are we getting her perspective and not?
It does kind of come off like Aki mentioned earlier, like main character-ish. You know, her backstory, the beginning of it too, where she's like confronting the bullies and doing all this stuff, and then. Yeah, kind of. I also kind of like the way it ends. It's not necessarily like uplifting, fulfilling content. I just think it's just interesting that the way that they kind of pull it full circle with Sayori, who's the older chick, who she's kind of just like reminiscing back on her life and being like, I just live such an ordinary office life now. Like, I wonder what that little girl's up to. And obviously she has no conception of what Kugasaki could possibly be up to.
Yeah. Or
saving the world.
The truth. Yeah, of what's actually going on. But I just like the way that they kind of brought that full circle. And then just, again, everyone leaves Yuji with just like a horribly, almost like heartbreaking quote. Even though this is like actually uplifting and probably some nice last words to leave, but like, it's just like, fuck, man. It's like, hey, please tell everyone. Like, Nanami's like, I'll leave it up to you. And then she's like, hey, tell everyone this. And it's just like, God damn.
It's so funny. I've definitely said the same thing. I feel like in drunk moments with you guys, I'm just like, if I die like right now, I just want everyone to know that I had a great life. Yeah. Just don't feel bad, you know? But
That left eye socket gets blown out. And dude, they fucking, the sound design on her like hitting the ground was like, oh my God, okay.
So yeah, just down. That.
I'm surprised that Mahito didn't fucking disfigure her the way he did Nanami.
Yeah.
Frankly, I mean, I guess to our benefit.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess seems to be like that little slap versus like actually touching him.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah.
I think
the fucking visual of it's fucking wild.
Yeah, it's a shame. The shot of Yuji through the hole in her head.
Yeah.
That was so.
Scar is cool, dude, with the nails. I think it's a pretty cool, like, stupid, quote unquote, power to have. And the way she uses it is intelligent. You know?
Yeah. I mean, because
she
obviously,
used
like,
old nails on the ground, like,
that was
all
hard.
Of that.
Mm-hmm. Because it's, you can obviously see when she's just doing the basic power of just like smacking the nails, like, sure, your average Hurst might not be able to avoid it, but for someone like Mojito, dodging those things is easy,
right?
So it was cool seeing her potential on display there.
I think they did give us that nice little flashback. I thought it was
of the
was
three of them, and
also funny. It felt like classic anime humor. Was this was in this episode, or was it? Now I'm thinking about it. Maybe it was in 20. Either way, but with the shirt and spilling it, and I like how she tries to get them to blame Mr. I think his name is Ichiji or something like that. Yeah, and they're me, like, no, it's obviously
it's your fault.
And
yeah,
the scale hits like behind her. I thought that was.
And she's like, okay, I'll pay 90. You guys each pay 80. And they're like, whoa, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good. I think that it's pretty noteworthy that the author mentioned. The creator mentioned that it's not a 0% chance because so far everybody that we've seen that's dead has been dead.
We know how anime percents work. Whenever it's low stakes or low percent chance of it going through, it's going to work out. And if it's a high percent chance of it working, it's not going to work out. So that's
we'll see.
We will see. I mean,
it does feel like this show out of almost anything.
I did
is
get picked
definitely
back
willing
up.
To kill her.
I'm
right.
definitely happier hearing that there's not a 0% chance that she's
because the guy also said there's not a 0% chance. Don't get your hopes up, which is like,
but it feels also, that's also kind of just maybe his like catchphrase kind of thing where it's just like, don't get your hopes up. I can calculate all this stuff, but don't get your hopes up.
It's also, I think his power, the base of his power is like stabilizing injuries versus actually healing people. So he probably feels like he literally has to say that all the time, especially to someone like Toto, who obviously doesn't care about nuance. It's just like, let's kick ass. And
the one thing like that. The last comment I have on part two is just, I loved when Mojito breaks off into like the five little like cyclop things. And again, just seeing Mojito's abilities of like, combat knowledge in the fact that he was able to fake out Yuji with putting a bunch of cursed energy into one of them, thinking that Yuji's going to bite on that one. And he did. And it wasn't that one that had his soul in it. So just Mihito just being a boss. And I mean, I still fucking hate the guy, but he's good.
His imagination is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. The way he uses his power is really, really, really cool.
And I feel like we're just scratching the surface with how Right and Wrong Part 3 ended.
Yeah, that's fair. So that's a perfect segue into Right and Wrong Part 3. And this might be my favorite episode of the season.
Yeah, we said the same thing, bro.
Same thing. It's up there, man. It's it's so hard for me not to just come off like a biased opinion of just fresh off watching the episode and being like, that was the best one of the
I've been saying, where the fuck is Toto? And I knew he was coming. That's all for you guys, viewers.
He is my favorite character. I think.
Dude, he's so cool, bro. He's so badass. Him. His walk up, I got chills. The fight was sensational. His speech to Yuji, like, whipped him back into shape, whipped me back into shape. It was awesome. Yeah. It was not like, it's gritty. It was right along with the tone of the anime. It's like, don't wallow in this because then you're doing everybody that's died a disservice, Let's live for them. And also, he said some shit under his breath like,
I don't like we can't tell him that yet.
Yeah, we can't let him like.
What was he
kind of let the reality? I don't really know.
Yeah,
I caught that. I didn't know what he meant by that.
It's just he's just so fucking cool. His power, it's so sweet how he can switch spots with literally anything, and he uses it to a T. Man, he's such a master at it. He is able to just. It's not a really intricate power, but he is so glitch with it. It's so fun to watch.
It's when Mahito's kind of running and he uses it like twice in quick succession to then kick Mahito. It's just like, he's already like doing the kick, like as he goes to clap to put himself in a position to finish the kick. It's like, he's just such a fucking boss.
But there's nothing cooler in anything than just an anime walk-up scene. It's just like, those are the best.
I saw something on the internet that was like, it literally was like a WWE entrance.
Yeah.
Like, it was him entering the scene was just like so perfect. And I mean, before this, dude, it was looking terrible because it gets worse at the beginning of this episode because Mahito is just giving Yuji the business. So they're just throwing him around. He hits him with a black flash, which is just... like probably the lowest Yuji might have been after Kugasaki dies. He's like literally like the way they're drawing it, like the panic on his face, I thought was really good. The animation was great. And then he gets hit with a black flash and was like, oh my God, where the hell do we go from here?
Was pissing me the fuck off because he's just like, I'm so perfect. Like, I am literally the embodiment of a curse. And I'm just like, you are the worst. I hate you.
Yeah, before we just like telling him, like, you know, I can't. Like, I literally used to tell Toto, I can't do it anymore. Like, what I thought to be my conviction only turned out to be my excuses. I can't forgive myself. And it's like, oh my God, man. Like, this is literally the lowest he's probably ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Before we dive into this fight, I want to mention, me and Dave were talking about it previously before the podcast. Yuji's black flashes. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was really cool. And he was doing it in succession. And I think we should, like, I know it's a first season thing, but I think it's important to understand the mechanics of the black flash. Basically, it's like a timing thing. And I like to equate it to, in the newer Super Smash Brothers Brawl games, you know, when you like knock somebody and it's just like at the right moment, they get fucking blown off the screen. I think of it that way. Yeah. I think Yuji doing it in succession like that is so cool and awesome. Unfortunately, it was not enough because I'm pretty sure Nobara died right after that, like, exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we get to see it again in this fight with Toto and Yuji and Mahito. This whole fight was sweet, man. Just all of it. Like, Mahito's at the brink, just going, firing at all cylinders, and Toto and Yuji are answering, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of giving them the business at some points.
Yeah. I mean, Mahito already like had the scouting report on Toto, and even with the scouting report of his powers, was still just like, I still get completely disoriented, even knowing that the claps are coming and the way he's giving him credit for the way he uses it.
And it excites him.
Yeah. That's the worst part about Mahito is that he's smiling through this all. Like, he could be like, he's already in a precarious situation. Like, he breaks it down. Like, Toto's at 100% soul and Yuji's at 10% or less and he's at 40. Those odds to me seem well in favor of Toto's side, even if Yuji's at 10%. But he's just still fucking laughing because he probably has a fucking plan. And I fucking hate the guy. So he has such a punchable face. And that's, I'm sure that's how they designed it to be. But anytime he smiles, I get so angry.
All of the fucking happens a lot. It happens multiple times, like every episode almost.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Toto even was taking him on 1v1. Obviously, we find out a little later that Toto's attacks themselves don't really do a ton to Mahito. But at the very least, he's buying time. And I mean, the combo work with him and Yuji is just top notch. They're just so good as a duo. It's insane.
I like that the reminder that he doesn't really have an effect on Mahito, because there are moments in the fight where Toto has a clear shot at hitting Mahito, but instead he'll sub in Yuji, which I there were some moments when I was watching, I was like, why do they keep switching when it's a clear line of sight? But 100% makes sense.
Why his shit? Is it just his curse energy is not strong enough? What is it?
It's because he can't hit the soul.
Like Fugasaki's and Yuji's powers specifically attack
like
the soul.
The resonance attacks the soul. Right. Yuji can attack the soul.
Like Toto, his fist, just kind of breached through.
And that's Mahito's whole thing, the soul.
Yeah. And that's why she was a good counter for Mahito.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But not all powers.
He wasn't worried about her, until he didn't realize that she could use that resonance ability. And she even says, since the first time I heard about your power, like, I figured this might work.
Yeah, and to me, like, I imagine blood manipulation wouldn't have any effect really on Mahito, because that wouldn't, you know, necessarily touch the soul either.
Yeah, and he can literally manipulate his body so much.
Yeah.
It's just like, it would be hard to hit him with things if you weren't like directly impacting his soul, essentially.
So that black flash didn't do anything.
No.
That's crazy. That sucks. I mean,
is the black flash not
now it's all coming together now, but damn, bro.
Yeah, it doesn't. Doesn't do anything to him.
The black flash with Yuji would, because it's like his ability.
Yeah. It like physically moves him backwards, but that's kind of the extent of it. It doesn't actually do any damage to him. Mm-hmm.
Him loading up into the black flash. It's like him in space with the rainbows. Yeah. That shit was hilarious.
It's just like so fitting of his character.
He's like, dude, everyone's out here giving their all right now. Like, I can't get left behind.
And does he hear the voice?
You think like
of his crush. Is that who he hears? Like, he's like,
yeah, at the end, that's
the girl, the yeah. girl that he had the ticket
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
Yo, he's he funny. Dude. He's,
yeah. Is there, you hear a chick's too. Voice as he's like flying yeah. through space. And I'm pretty it's sure like it's just like his motivation. Basically.
It's like, there's like little pictures of her, like right before he makes contact. It's like her on a beach and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think, yes. I think it says like, Toto-san.
He's so stupid, but I kind of love the fucking guy. He's just incredible.
I think his design is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Such a badass.
Dude. I love how he has like the jogger pants on and the yeah. and the karate
I
shoes.
Want those kind of pants. I've been getting like recommended those like, on like
they're like
Instagram.
Parachute pants, kind of. Yeah. I don't know.
He's
and
just
and
with his hell, his long hair. He's just a beast.
I want to know how he gets his scar.
Top knot gorilla. I thought that was hilarious. Maeda call him that.
So the scar, I feel like they mention in season one when he first shows up. I feel like they talk about it with the in relation, I believe it's with chapter zero, with the night of 99 curses or whatever it is, when Geto did like that, I guess they called it a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there. And like, I'm pretty sure that's when he earned his special grade. Or no, he's not a special
He's grade. First grade.
Yeah, I think that's where he earned his first grade. I think that's where he got the scar from. Someone can obviously fact check that. But I was just going to say that I love like the impact he has on Yuji. It's just so obvious and tangible. I mean, it literally is, it takes maybe 3 minutes for Yuji to be like on the floor, like about to tap out into like, he literally is like apologizing to Nanami. And he's like, you know, I was about to take the easy way out. I was about to use my sins as an excuse to escape. From now on, I will suffer in your place as well, Nanami, which is like, okay, wild that he has to do that. But that's obviously, like Toto said, the life of a jiu-jitsu sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just stands up together and Toto just rips his shirt off. And it's like, all right, baby, like phase two of the fight. Like, let's get it. It's just like so funny.
Like, he's just barely gotten started. Now yeah. it's all about to go down. Like,
I just,
it's so good.
I just love that he just appears to be just like this idiot, but like, he just knows exactly how to get Yuji going. And
yeah.
he's his I mean, brother, dude. The other guy was like, was so his funny. Brother. I don't really see any resemblance. Yeah. Like, I was, because to my knowledge, he was an only child.
He just goes around casually telling everyone he has a brother, and he just, it's not his brother, but they're just best friends. Oh, he's the man.
Bro. Well, they're best friends in Toto's mind.
Yeah. They're brothers in Toto's mind.
I know, like, Yuji's naive and stuff. I like that he's not a fucking idiot. Like, sometimes I hate it, unless it's like Luffy.
Mm-hmm.
When the main character is like an absolute moron, it's kind of just overdone. I like how Yuji is not that, but Toto being that makes it awesome.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
He also has like surprising depth to him at times.
Oh yeah. He's a softy, dude.
The scene when he comes in and the quote of the bells of the, I'm going to mispronounce it, but the Gayan Monastery in India echo with the warning that all things are impermanent. The blossoms of the salad trees teach us through their hues that will flourishes must fade. And it's like, where is this coming from?
Yeah, it's true. But that's the beauty of him.
Yeah, he's great.
He's got layers, dude. He's like an ogre.
And yes, then, he is.
For me, honestly, watching these back-to-back, the most emotional I got, what actually brought me tears, like what the tears started pouring out was when Mahito is just like talking about himself. He's like, oh my God, I'm feeling like the true essence of my soul. Like, I'm bringing out everything of my potential. He's about to like punch Toto right in the face, and Yuji comes and catches it. And he's just head down. He's like, I'm sorry, Nanami. And we get that like brief moment of Nanami. And I'm definitely crying at that point. Fugasaki's death was definitely sad. But for some reason, this hit me just so much harder. And like, I'm just sitting here crying. I'm just like, let's fucking go. And I was really hoping that this shot was going to end it. But of course, it was just the beginning of the whole fight. Basically, like, this is just Yuji fully accepting that he has to move on. But it was just great seeing Nanami's face, man. I was definitely so emotional seeing it. The Black Flash animation, I'm glad. Me and Alki were actually kind of debating this at the beginning. As much as I love this episode, and I'm still willing to put it as one of my favorites, for some reason, for me, the animation felt its worst during this fight. I don't know. It didn't feel that clean to me. Like, everything was still like blobs. But anytime the Black Flash was involved, the animation felt really clear, and it was like, you know, just like seeing Conqueror's Haki from One Piece. Like, it's just such a really cool animation that they do with the black lightning coming out of it, I think. But
I actually don't think the animation was bad. I thought it was worse versus when Sukuna fought Maharaga. Maharaga. Like, I thought that was awful. I thought this was all right.
Yeah. Either way, it's still not taken away. This one for me just felt, I don't know why. Maybe it was, I don't know.
I think it almost helps with the perspective that Mahito's body is pretty much just like a ball of jello that he can do whatever he wants with. So like, that's how I think I'm trying to headcanon it. When I see something, I'm like, that looks
I agree.
Odd.
And I would say in the past, I've been fine with this animation because it kind of, you know, especially in the fight with like Sukuna versus Mahago or whatever, and even against Jogo, it feels like the animation's fine there because they're moving just so fast that like you just really can't make out anything. Whereas here, like, I don't picture, you know, Yuji, Mahito, and Toto moving at these like supersonic speeds that like Toji was moving at in the other episodes, and which I guess why in this moment I felt like a little bit less.
Like it could be better.
Yeah, and I guess again, it wasn't bad. It didn't take away from anything. I still will rank this as a top three episode of Jujutsu Kaisen of all time, but
that's good.
Yeah, I just, for me, it felt a little bit off, but still the black flashes are just amazing.
I mean, I hear you. I actually, that logic is sound. Like that reasoning
makes
sense.
I think that's why it was weird for me in this episode specifically.
But for me, like against Maharaga, like there were literally frames that were black and white and it was like sketches. Like it was his biceps as squares because they didn't like color it, like finish drawing it. That's what pissed me off in that fight.
Yeah.
This one, there were some blob moments. Like there was a moment where I think when they came out of the floor, there was like they were all blobs, and I was just like, "Eh, it's not their fault, bro." I don't know. They're like,
it's technically their fault, but it's also not their fault.
I'm really curious what like the end of season conversation might be like. If it's like still an issue, if we get more information about it, yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't even say it's been an issue for me. Like, obviously, I know the potential is there for it to be better, but it hasn't necessarily, I would say, been an issue for me entirely just yet. Because it has been consistent, at least. That's the main thing. It's not like what I'm thinking of is that one, there's like a Black Clover episode where, you know, the animation was all fine. And then we get this major fight and the episode's kind of done like this. And it's like, okay, that sucks because it was only one episode. And it was like a major fight. Whereas this, at least it's consistent. And we kind of understood why it was happening.
Yeah, it is nice to know. Although obviously the reason itself is terrible, I guess it is nice. I feel like it tempers our expectations in a way where we're not like reacting negatively to the wrong thing, I guess you could say. But another interesting, I guess, story direction decision, etc., is I thought it was really interesting how there was like actual episode content. Like the fight is still ongoing as the credits to the episode were happening. When usually that's like the song and the outro sequence playing. I just thought that was interesting. It seems like they're really trying to stretch the screen time and get in as much content as they have to, which I think is appreciated in my mind. I don't think
like, holy shit, the fucking season's over. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
that happened earlier this season too. I think it happened during the flashback, like maybe like one of the last episodes or the last episode of the flashback. It ended like that.
Yeah, I thought it was weird too, because I'm like, we're watching it and, you know, it ends with Mahito's devilish look on his face, but then it kind of just rolls into what the expectations are for next episode. And I was like, are we still, I couldn't tell because the outro hadn't played fully. I was like, are we still in the same episode? And then I was like, okay, now this is a little bit too, like, now I see this is the episode preview.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it, but
yeah,
it was hard.
I like that they put that panel in. You can kind of tell it was a panel when it's like the three of them and the narrator kind of says like, they've all reached like 120% of their of their potential. I like when they put the panels in. I thought it was nice. It's colored. It just like is a nice little like nod, I thought, at least to
the readers. I always have to point out when there's a narrator that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was random.
Was this the first time? I feel like we maybe had talked about a narrator earlier in this season, but it's been for like specific moments. But
yeah, it's possible, but I don't think it happens very often.
I don't mind.
It's not like Hunter, I feel like is much more consistent.
Well, that one, I feel like it started during the Chimera Ant arc. Like
yeah,
it wasn't there
within the arc.
I actually prefer a narrator, to be honest, because I just feel like it's almost more like reading, where you can also not only like see the emotions that people are feeling, but like you can also kind of get that like confirmation from the narrator of what's also going on. So
like a little elaboration.
Yeah, like
I'm
not opposed to it. I just, it was just something that I noticed.
Right. Like concrete facts. Like if the narrator says it, It's true.
Like, I just picture it like the square boxes in manga.
Right,
like
exactly.
That, just, like, on the side.
That's what I was picturing, too.
But other than that, I mean, the Mechamaru scene, I will say, was also very emotional.
To comment on. I'm just curious how much either of you two care.
That's not
something
too much.
I've been seeing online where it's like the general consensus feels like Miwa and Mechamaru at this point, we've moved so far past those characters that it's like it feels shoehorned in. They're trying. It just feels like, I think this is actually a common, I guess, criticism I've read of Jujutsu Kaisen. I don't have this criticism because I'm a terrible critic of things that I read and enjoy. Because I'm just taking everything at face value, pretty much, and whatever. Everything is a decision, and it makes sense to me. But that, like, a lot of side characters are just, like, really underutilized and don't contribute a ton to the plot. It just felt like it popped up. I thought it was animated, like, beautifully. Thought the colors looked good. The story.
I thought it was, like, a lo-fi scene. Like, I felt like I was watching, like, one of my lo-fi videos.
I really liked it, because I get it. The story of Mechamaru is gone. But he was... He helped Yuji up until like 3 or 4 episodes ago. And not to mention, this kind of tied that group of people into the mix. So that's why
Toto,
like,
arrives too.
Yeah, he acts like the liaison. I'm not really upset with it. I actually read that those criticisms as well about how the side characters are underutilized. But the pacing of the story is pretty fast.
Yeah, it is.
Like in the manga too. Like you'll see, bro. Next arc is fucking awesome as well. And it doesn't skip a beat in that sense. It's like, where does like a B-ranked fighter fall into play when you're fighting like
the
world-threatening
stake,
monsters and shit? You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
So I get it, but it's like, do you want an 1,000 chapter manga that you're going to complain about because it's 1,000 chapters, or do you want the meat and potatoes? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I agree.
I would definitely counter the community's arguments against that the side characters have not been utilized enough. Like, I guess in any fucking story, like, the side characters could always be utilized more. So that's never been a problem for me. In terms of the specific like love story between Mechamaru and Miwa, I don't really care about, because one, their love was never, or like their relationship was never really displayed on screen.
It's not even real.
Present. Yeah, like it was only things that we have seen because Mechamaru is now gone.
We get to it at the end, which like creates not a false tragedy, but it's not like we've gone on the journey with them. Like we kind of
that's what I'm saying. Exactly. It's not like from day one from Jujutsu Kaisen, this was like a story that they had been keeping us up with. It was just kind of like laid out to us like, oh, Mechamaru does have a crush. Like this pulls in a little bit towards his humanity side of things, makes the sacrifice that he put. Mm-hmm. Like, so that I can agree on. Like this specific thing, like I don't care too much about. Like it was very nice, and again the animation was like beautiful. It felt like I was just like listening to some lo-fi beats, and just like the lights in the background were really cool. But in terms of emotion, like it didn't do anything. But like Aoki said though, the fact that it now ties into all these other quote-unquote side characters making their debut into Shibuya Station, I think that is a really good connector for this arc, and something that it definitely needs, because it does feel like we're losing a lot of people. We're losing a lot
like
of people
flies out there for sure.
So we need the backup. And even though obviously they're kind of led to believe, you know, this is Squad B, like Mechamaru specifically told these people not to come or set them on missions because they were quote unquote weak, but this is going to be the squad based on how animes in the past have gone. I mean, I think a few of them are going to die still, but you know, I think Squad B is going to come up clutch and, you know, prove their worth here.
Four episodes left. I kind of liked the little flash of Mechamaru as a human that Miwa saw. Like, was that in Miwa's mind, or do you think that was his cursed energy? I think that was his cursed energy.
That's actually not I would have just immediately said, I just think that was her mind, but because you know, there's cursed energy and like the thing probably disintegrated or like, used the last of its cursed energy to probably
like,
put himself.
I know that walkie talkie thing is like, it can't revive Mechamaru, but his essence is in it. And like the latest software update from when he like uploaded his consciousness into this fucking thing is there. So like all his memories and feelings and stuff are there. So I would like to believe that he projected himself there for her to see. That'd be pretty cool.
Interesting thought.
Yeah.
It's nice to think of it that way, because I don't think I don't think it matters either way. Not in like a don't worry about it. But like, I'm just saying, I think you're more than free to feel that way.
No, I know. I liked Mechamaro. Like reading it too, I liked him. I thought he was fucking cool. I was disappointed in him. I like that his girl he has a crush on is pretty sweet with the sword. Like, she's pretty gnarly with that shit.
I'm excited to see her. But I was actually kind of surprised to see that Mechamaro considered the the guy with his eyes closed. I'm pretty sure he's a blood manipulator too, but I'm surprised that he considered him weak, because I feel like we've seen him before kind of go toe-to-toe with his, was it with Todo or...
It's
Megumi.
Megumi, that's who it was. You're right, right.
That's
Noritoshi Kamo, I believe.
He's pretty... I'm excited to see him in action, because especially after you see Choso.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm kind of surprised that he wasn't on the group that Mechamaro was like, yeah, you can certainly, you know, hit up Shibuya. So I think he'll be definitely one of the bigger players of this group. Like, and Maki's is a cousin or sister. Like, I still say fuck her, but like,
Maki's sister, I believe.
Yeah, it's her sister.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of her. I think definitely she's weak. But
yeah, well, we'll see. I mean,
all get their moments. Yeah, yeah, I think again, B team is going to shine here in these next couple of episodes.
Yeah, like we said.
Oh, I just remembered something that fucking happens, bro. Oh, it's gonna be. you're about to get. It's about to get lit again. I don't know how this season is. It's been a big like debate, a banger, bro. Yeah. Banger after banger after banger. It's like a top season of anime, just nonstop hits. Unbelievable.
It's been a
big
debate on where it's going to end. Like, where is the actual line they're going to draw for, like, this is the end of this arc for season two. 4 episodes left of content. We'll see. We're moving into phase 3 of this, let's say, Todo Yuji versus Mahito fight. It's gonna be fireworks. There's no other way around it. I mean, it's not even a spoiler to say that the ending is gonna be nuts. Obviously, we're getting these characters just continuing to face off, so we'll have to see how it ends.
It's funny because I was talking about like the anime percent math and how, like, you know, giving us the percent, usually it's gonna be the opposite of the outcome. Now I'm kind of stuck on the thing, like Mechamaro is saying Todo had a 99% chance to survive, and it's like, shit, if what I was saying was earlier comes true, then that 1% is probably going to come true. So
don't think like that, bro.
Is Mechamaro
I'm going to put on the board that Toto's going to die. That's on the
this
board.
This close to, what does he say, realizing the true essence of his soul? Was that part of the
campaign? We didn't talk about this. I thought it was really interesting to find out that he has 40% left.
Yeah.
You know, because he seems like he could go, I thought he was not even touched.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reassured. But it's also crazy to hear Yuji's at 10.
It feels generous, honestly.
It's just like one of those things. It just reminds me of like the scene from The Dark Knight when Batman's just like kicking the shit out of the Joker in the jail room. But like the Joker's just like laughing the whole time. Like, obviously the Joker's feeling that damage, but like just the joy of just
plan in place.
The bigger plan and just watching his enemies just struggle is just so much fun to him. So,
yeah.
All right. God damn.
So that's going to do it for Jujutsu Kaisen episodes 19 and 20. We will be back in 2 weeks continuing this 2-episode at a time, I guess, structure that we've been moving with. So we'll be back with episodes 21 and 22. Until then, we are covering Beacon 23, Murder at the End of the World. We're going to start covering Yu Yu Hakusho on Netflix, I believe, the live action Yu Yu Hakusho.
I think we're going to do this squad.
Okay, yeah, so that is a nice continuation of, if you're interested in the anime content, we'll move into the live action arena, obviously, but Yu Yu Hakusho, classic anime there. And Percy Jackson is coming out on Disney Plus this month of December. And then looking more towards the future, True Detective comes out in January as we transition into 2024. So as I always say, we're busy guys. We got a lot coming down. The pipe, either way you want to say it. So if you like what you heard, the best way to support us is going to be obviously continuing to listen, but also subscribing on whatever you're listening on or watching on. If you're one of our YouTube faithful, we appreciate you no matter what way you engage with the content. It's just nice to know that there's people out there that are listening and they care. So once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thank you for listening.
Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.